Hey, everyone. Welcome to Trim Radio's Offsides College Football's Top 25 Plus 5 with your hosts, John Kalen. And, of course, I'm here for just humorous content. That's my job. Anyway, lots going on. I'm going to let them get right at it. Kalen, you need to put in your picks if you want picks in.
Yeah, I'm already late. I missed out.
No, you haven't missed out.
When's it start?
It's already started, but, you know, the CFP hasn't started, so yeah. You have that one. Okay, there you go. John, what do we got?
You want to do the bowl games, or you want to do the college football award winners?
Ooh, college football award winners. Let's see. Mendoza, all of them. You kind of saw that coming. I think everybody did. If Ohio State would have won, staying, all of them, you know? I mean, the thing that bothered me, I guess, about that was no one gave Owen Long even consideration at all.
No finals.
I mean.
Look, the Heisman Trophy is about the only one they got really correct. There's a couple in there that they got correct on the defensive side of things. You know, the only thing that I didn't like, you awarded the 18th, number 18 for Texas Tech, the defensive trophy. And he wasn't even the best at his position.
Yeah.
It's like, is this a popularity contest?
It's a committee. We've seen the committee.
We've seen this. Yeah. Terrible choices.
Yeah, it was not good. But it is what it is. And all right, John, have at it.
So the NARC award winner for the best defensive player, Jacob Rodriguez, Texas Tech. No.
Absolutely not.
I need at least five more so I can say nine times no.
He's ranked 18. 18. You're not even in the top 10.
I need my – where is it? Oh, this will work.
How does – I really want to ask this question. How does the 18th player at his position, all right, on a team of successful players – win the defensive player of the year award?
No.
I feel like I'm playing dynasty mode on college football.
Oh, man, a huge donation to the judges.
Yeah. Yeah, just no. Next.
The Biletnikoff Award for the best receiver, Mekhi Lemon, USC.
Also, no.
No, Ty Lemon is. Ty Lemon,
I said it like this, okay?
I like it.
You can't sit there and say that Caleb Downs is the best defensive player in all of college football and say right across from him is Jeremiah Smith, who's the best offensive player in all of college football.
He didn't have the numbers. Ty Lemon's working.
No, he did have the numbers. You got to remember, Smith didn't even play for almost a game and a half, two games.
Okay.
But the numbers are equal.
No.
And here's the other thing. You're not triple covering Lemon. You might double team him. Okay. Maybe double team him.
Last year.
Smith's getting triple teamed, sometime quad teamed.
All right. So last year, Caleb Downs was a big part of Ohio State's defense.
Absolutely. But he won his award.
Okay, but everyone was growing then. Mm-hmm. So he was the star that kind of held it together. This year, everybody is molded in better than what they thought. It's really the number one defense in the country. And when you look at it that way, his part is not full time. As compared to where it was last year, where he had to cover a bunch of people. So I understand. And this is the same way with wide receivers. Jeremiah Smith will draw away everyone else, but then you'll have big receivers. You know, Carnell
Tate.
Hang on.
What award are we talking about again?
Biletnikoff, best receiver.
What does that stand for? What award is that again?
It's wide receiver.
the best wide receiver, right? The best wide receiver can pull half the defense to one side of the field. Regardless, respect is respect. The best wide receiver doesn't always have to have the numbers, but you're going to respect him upon the field. Do you think Randy Moss, one of the greatest receivers on out there, went on out there just because he was in single coverage every single time? No. The dude was in quad coverage 90% of the time, sometimes triple coverage, even downfield in contested catches.
Okay.
So it's like, did he always have the best numbers? No.
And I get that. But I'm going to tell you, Lemon did consistently.
No, he didn't.
Yes, he did. John, the stacking of Lemon, how many yards did he have on the season, sir?
I'm going to look right now, but he had like
1,013 or something.
He had passing receipt. He was number four. He had 1,156 yards.
Yes, 1,156.
And where was Jeremiah Smith?
I think he was 113 or something. 1,013 or something.
Okay, so he already outdid Smith. So
but he didn't outdo him.
So the comment that was made about Smith and like there's like Randy Moss or
1,156 versus 1,086 and yards per catch 14.6 versus 13.8. While tying and receiving touchdowns, Lemon also had more touchdowns due to rushing passing scoring. Scores and had more impactful performances, leading him to winning the award despite Smith's strong year.
The key word is impactful.
Yes. So, the thing about it is, they were having him pass. He has a passing touchdown, he has a rushing touchdown, and he had a catching touchdown all in the same game.
Okay. I mean, it is.
But Jeremiah Smith did not have any Heisman moment in that year. He had a couple one hand catches.
Yes, but you're right.
You don't have to. Though. No offense. If you're Ohio State, you really don't have to.
But that's what they're going to look at. That's the
bad thing about it.
But that's the criteria they're looking at.
Of course.
So Desmond Howard saying he did not have a single Heisman moment. Winners win. That's what he said. Winners win.
Yep. That's it. And
winners win. Exactly. And how many losses does Southern Cal have? Four, right? Three or four?
I'm looking right now.
Yeah, I don't have a problem with that one.
Hang on.
I'm looking.
Because I do now. If winners win and Smith didn't even play for a game and a half and they still won, winners win.
They lost from the beginning of the year. He should have showed up.
Of course.
Mm-mm. Where are you, Southern Cal?
Exactly.
Who had the most receiving yards? How about that?
It was a D5, group of five.
Yeah, he wasn't even Lemon. That's what I'm trying to get at. He wasn't, and this was the problem here. It's like, what are you looking for as criteria goes at this point? Because you're not being consistent, and that's the issue we have here. I would have rather seen a D5 player with the most yards for the year. At least you would have a reason then. All this Sinantric crap that they want to throw on out there, is that's all it is, media Sinantric crap, because as I just showed you, you can sit there and counter every single one of the arguments with something just as equal, and then you have to sit there and go, well, what criteria are they actually looking for?
Yeah, so the number one receiver was Danny Scudero.
Yep.
Scudero. San Jose State.
Bingo.
91 yards.
See?
I understand. But winners win. There's the thing.
Back to my point. How many losses does Southern Cal have?
Three.
There you go. How many losses does OSU have?
Well, they only have one. But it's a winning season.
But he did not dominate that game. He should have dominated that game.
I agree.
Well, he should have dominated, but Ohio State just kept – they couldn't get out of their own way, and no offense, the refs didn't give him any help. They were letting the boys play, and Indiana's handsy.
Yeah.
There was a lot of holding going on. A whole lot of holding.
But I mean, I agree with you. Okay, they were a lot during the game, but this is the calls are the calls.
The calls are the calls. This yeah, goes, you got to play the game. I'm not discrediting Indiana by any means. That's a legit team. That you know, Cignetti's got a legit team.
Oh, listen, I'm. My thing is, they were holding more than barnacles onto the bottom of a ship.
Absolutely, offensive but, game plan is why Ohio State lost. No offense. You can't lose your offensive coordinator, have him down up in Florida, you know, hanging out with the boys for two solid days, and then flying back on a Wednesday, Thursday to crunch some numbers with the gang right before he departs on out. It doesn't work out.
No, I just don't think
they played like they were hungover.
Okay. It
the offense did. I'm not saying the defense. Defense did their part. They were an amazing team.
My point is this, and my point is simple, is that as players, as coaches, when you start to depart in the middle of bowl season you start to depart in the middle of playoffs, and, you know, with all the garbage that we've got going on, you don't know what team you're going to face because you have players that opt out. Well, I'm going to make more money in the NFL. I don't want to get hurt. Your whole thing was based on NIL. Your whole thing was based on you were given a free scholarship, a free ride somewhere along the line. We lost that
accountability. The grace. That's what it is. It's the grace. The grace is gone.
Yeah. My thought is, and
but I will say, I mean, it's a kudos, though, well, in the same
– let me finish.
Same stance.
My thing is that if you don't graduate and you were given a free ride and you're on an NIL deal, then you pay back the scholarship money, so it opens the door for another student who will take college serious and who is not using it to tiptoe into the NFL. Mm-hmm. Okay? That's the right thing to do. That's great. You want to buy your mama a home or everything else. That's great. But you also owe it to other students and to kids that, yeah, I want to go to the NFL, but I want my education first so I can fall back on that.
Well, a lot of them.
Our priorities have changed.
Well, no, a lot of them still go and get their educations. A lot of them still graduate on out after you, even after they.
Some of them do, but it's not. It's there's a lot that don't. So
no, of course,
my point is. If you don't graduate,
there should be a repercussion to it.
There, absolutely. I mean, you know, you want to blaze on off to the NFL, you got an NIL deal, pay back your scholarship. It should be something written into a contract. Hey, did you graduate? No. All right. Well, you've got a responsibility. You're on a pro team. You got to pay back your education to open the door for another student that is going to come along, sports student. And I think that's how we curb some of these problems, because we've turned this into semi-pro to pro. By this committee, these guys have now forced the hand, and I don't see they're going to have any other choice. But like John said before, a 32-team playoff.
16.
It's not going to be 16. Oh, it's not going
to
work.
That'll be the next expansion. It'll be 16, and then they're going to go to 24, and then they'll go to 32.
I just think that they're going to end up going to a 32, and you know.
But look, I got no conversation with somebody, you know, just a couple days ago about this too. How many more do you – how big you got to go? How big do you got to go?
32.
Everybody. Well, no. Well, here's the real question. Some people are upset right now because Notre Dame got left on out and JMU is in. All right? But isn't that the whole purpose of the college football playoffs? Was it not? When we had the BCS era, what problems did we have? Oh, well, we had teams that they deserve a shot. You know, they went undefeated. You know, you've got a one-loss team up in there playing an undefeated team. Why isn't the undefeated team playing the other undefeated team, or the one-loss team, you know, getting in over the two-loss team?
It was.
I remember.
It was so heavily favored.
It was heavily favored and biased. Yes, and biased because of media outrights. But here we go again. We went to the fourth, you know, the 14 playoff format. All right. What started happening yet again? The bias started getting put in. Oh, well, we're going to put three SEC teams in and such. It doesn't work like
five.
That. Yeah, exactly. So now we've gone on out. We've made the 12-team playoff. All right. And again, here we are, year three of the playoffs. Or, yeah, three or four. One of the two. But here we are again. And everybody's wanting to be appeased now. Oh, we need five SEC teams. Why? You can't even win your conference. That's a big part of it. All right. So let's say we'll add in one of the ones that can't win their conference outright. All right. Let's go there. Now, do I agree?
That's an at-large.
That's an at-large. There you go. So there's your three for conferences. If you want your conferences, that's fine. Three from the SEC, three from the Big Ten, three from the ACC, three from the Big 12. And then you get everybody else at an at-large, depending upon ranking and such. And then you can move it on out to a 32-team or even a 16-team if you want to. I think 16-team would probably take care of the problem for the most part. Because at that point, then accountability and your record matters. You know, it's like I said to him, I said, I want to see JMU go in. What happens if JMU sits there and upsets them? What happens if JMU goes on and gets up into the quarterfinals and then goes on and gets up into the national championship? Oh, well, the media is going to flip then. They're the greatest team ever.
It's already happened, Kalen.
I know.
It happened, if you remember before, with UCF. So, and they upset.
My point being, and they didn't even allow UCF to go on to play for the national title that year.
No, but they ended up taking part of it. So
self-proclaimed.
They were undefeated and they beat Alabama.
They did.
Or
they did.
Beat Auburn, who beat Alabama. So listen, I'm just saying, if you do it like you said, 3, 3, 3, and 3, I'm no mathematician, but 4 times 3 is 12.
Yeah.
And then where would you have the other three? So,
you got 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, four at largest for the non.
So if you look at the offsides top 25, Tulane was number 17.
Yeah.
Okay. The next even number four, without having a bye, I'm going to guess a bye, would be 32. And top 16 would be no bye and around a 4.
And, exactly.
Yeah.
No byes.
No buys.
We're here to play football. No buys.
So, March Madness, 64 teams, no buys. And what do you see? You saw University of Maryland, the county school, beat Virginia 2 years ago.
Yeah. And that's my whole point here. It's like, isn't this the whole purpose of the college football playoff? Is to get these teams the opportunity and chance to get on up there and upset some of these big schools. Let's see them play. I love it. You know what I'm saying? And this is where I have the problem then. It's like, then you can't sit there and cater to the conferences.
Yeah.
You can't.
Yeah,
So what started ESPN was the Big East. The Big East had their own marketing and their own television network. They said, oh, we can do the whole country if you want us to do that.
Well, here's the thing. I'm sorry. I am not a Notre Dame fan. I am not Notre Dame biased, but I will tell you this. Notre Dame has been an independent almost since Snow. Okay. All right. I mean, it's been that long and they're independent. They make their money and everything else. That's okay. Kudos to you.
You need to join a conference.
No, why? Why? Why should they be forced to join a conference? Why? I have not heard a solid argument as to why, because they don't play in a championship game.
No, because
you're playing 12 games. It doesn't matter.
Reason, I'll give you a reason why. Because you're greedy. That's why. Because you're greedy.
That has nothing to do with football.
No, it doesn't, but it has to do with the program here. All right. You can't sit there and have two of your sports teams playing in the ACC and then having another four sports teams playing in the Big 12. All right. And then you're going to have a cross reference with the SEC. But then you're going to have other teams play up against the Big Ten.
What do you care?
Where are you going with this? Because the money rights.
No,
it's not equal.
They're going to make, because they make their own money. If that, it's not in their best interest of their school, I'm sorry. I agree with Notre Dame on this.
Why are you playing in the sports?
Oh, please. That's a terrible argument.
No, it's not. No, it's not.
Oh, my God. That's a flush of a toilet.
It's a one. It's one. Look, it's one versus 151 teams.
It doesn't matter.
Why is it that you get to be so special on over here, but everybody else has to be confined to the same strict and guidelines that everybody else is following?
They won. You're not lucky.
You're not special. What have you won lately? Absolutely nothing.
No, that's bullcrap. And they have won. They won
second place.
Yeah, and they won 10 games in a row. Alabama lost two of the last four. They
Michigan won 10 games in a row.
They got smoked. Yeah, I wouldn't put Michigan over Notre Dame. Okay?
Who's got the head-to-head lead on that, by the way? Who's got
Michigan has it on everybody, okay? Exactly. The winningest team.
So you got to give Michigan the edge on Notre Dame. Sorry. Kalen, second place again.
Listen, here's the thing. At some point, the education has to help you out, okay? You can't.
Oh, now education is the merit.
Well, because you're mad at a school because they make money on their bowl games and they make money for their school. It's not in the best interest of them.
I'm not mad that they're making money.
Sure you are. You just said it's greed.
Oh, it is greedy.
Okay, it doesn't matter. That has nothing to do with...
Give me a solid reason why you wouldn't join a conference. Yeah, without including money rights.
They don't want to be in a conference.
Then why play the conferences then?
Because you're requiring it for them to get to the playoffs. Everyone's trying to control.
They've been doing it for years.
Yeah.
It has nothing to do with the playoffs. Don't think the playoffs have anything to do with it now.
It's manipulation. You're trying to manipulate a school because you don't
agree.
I'm not
manipulating it. I'm simply asking the bearable question that everybody else is wondering. Why not?
Because it's a false. That is a falsehood.
No, it's not. It's just the other side of the wall.
No, that's you. You want to impose your thoughts, your beliefs on them.
No.
And they have every right to be.
That's fine. They have every right. I'm just simply asking the question, what's stopping you from joining a conference?
So, once Paterno died, Penn State went to a conference.
Right. And that's okay.
Penn State fought it for years.
Yeah.
And look at how it's turned out for them. Okay? What a positive. Okay? I mean.
The last time they won a national championship, it was on paper.
Yeah. 1996, I believe.
96.
Or with Kajana Carter.
96 season, 97
years. The last time Notre Dame won it was 92.
Yes, and they did it when they played Colorado, and they beat Florida State at that time. I'm just saying.
They haven't done both of those schools have not done anything in the last 30 years.
But they've been in the national championship. They put themselves in a position to be there, and right. Punishing them to take them out because everyone says, well, they didn't play a bowl championship series, and at the SEC crying, well, we play 9 games against each other. Who's to say your conference is better than anyone else's?
SEC plays 8, by the way.
We had all these national championships, but my bottom line is if you stack the deck like you did this year and you got 5 teams in, okay, and then you turn and say, oh, well, we're going to up the percentage of one of those teams getting to the finals. Yeah, that's a stacked deck, okay? And I'm sorry, but it is. And that's how it was in the past.
Which is my point. Now, Notre Dame. What better way than to give the, a big old middle finger to ESPN.
By giving away all the money that they earn and saying.
Join the Big Ten.
You know.
Join the Big Ten.
F you, man. Screw me.
Tulane got an early Christmas present.
Yeah, they did. Are they rightfully better than Notre Dame? I don't think so.
No way.
Notre Dame, give them a shot.
Notre Dame lost both those games, Kalen.
Notre Dame lost both those games that mattered. End of discussion.
Kalen, it was by less than 10 points.
I don't care.
You put it out. Okay.
It was 4 points. 2 games, 4 points.
How many losses? Okay, I'll put it to you like this. If Notre Dame had 2 losses, I'd have the discussion. Notre Dame has 3 losses.
No, they don't.
They have two losses.
Okay, yeah, then yes, we can have a discussion because Notre Dame deserves a shot. I give you that.
My
apologies. I thought Notre Dame was 9-3.
No, Notre Dame is 10-2. They lost both of those games by less than 10 points combined.
Yeah. Okay. 4 points.
Yeah, four points. Yeah. Okay. So 4 points.
And 1 point and overtime.
Yeah. So here's the thing. If you look at that, Alabama got just woodshed smack beat down. It wasn't even by a belt. It was the board of the latrine. It was the, you know, I mean, it was a beating. And then they got dragged again. Not even close. I mean, one of them was by what, 21 points, John?
Yeah.
And one of them was by over 10 points. So you're talking losing.
Yeah, see, okay, I'm with you on this. Notre Dame should have had a shot because you're talking
they
Miami,
won.
Florida. You're talking Miami, Florida, and I'll give you that. That's within 3 points. Now, did Notre Dame ever lead in that game?
Does it matter?
Yes.
No, the outcome of the game matters, and they only lost by 1 point.
Exactly. If the outcome of the game matters, we're not going to have this conversation. But did they ever lead in the game? Because if they never led in the game and then they lost by 3 points, then I'm sorry, you lost that game.
I think so too. I think they were leading both the games. The other teams caught back on up, but I'm going to look at a team that caught back on up if they were losing by a bunch.
Yes, yes.
But that has no criteria.
I'm saying that's Miami, Florida, Texas A&M. Both those teams are in the playoff, okay? Blew up Purdue, blew up Arkansas, both. All right teams, I guess you could kind of say. Blew up Boise State, which is pretty decent.
They went 10-0 for the rest of their stretch.
Mm-hmm.
That was their first two games. I don't care. They won 10.
State, yeah, you had NC State, then you had Southern Cal, then you had Boston College, Navy, Pittsburgh, Syracuse, Stanford.
Okay.
Prominent teams. I mean, you can't sit there and say that they don't deserve a shot.
They're Power 5 teams. It doesn't matter.
Yep.
Okay? And I don't care that they didn't play in a championship. The bottom line is, who was the best team at that time? It sure was not Alabama, who got just booty dragged.
No, Alabama shouldn't have been in. No offense. The loss to Georgia should have – you're done.
Yeah, you're done. You're out. Exit stage right. And this is the problem we're having, and this is exactly why we're having the discussion. What does this go to now? 32 teams, 16 teams – because
but that's kind of the point I was making here. No offense, Alabama should not have been in. Notre Dame should have taken that spot for Alabama.
This has been the
and if I'll even take
hang
a
on.
Step.
What were you saying, John?
Or Tulane?
I wouldn't say that I would take Tulane out. Here's my reasoning. Okay, within final rankings, where was Notre Dame at?
Nine.
Well, let's talk this one.
They were at nine, right?
So us, they were nine, and the closest bowl was nine, and
so we'll say we'll leave them at nine.
Where was Alabama, John?
Alabama was above them. Alabama,
okay,
was on ours, and with the Notre Dame was ahead of A&M until the fourth quarter.
Right. My thing is, where was the final rankings? This is the problem we're having.
Here's the thing. Miami wants to get in, fine. They go above Notre Dame. Simply because Miami beat Notre Dame in the head-to-head. You got to give them the bump on up. All right? You want to put Tulane in as their person? Fine. They get to go too. You want to sit there and put JMU in because of their record? Fine. They get to go too. Notre Dame should have been the last one in. Simply because of the head-to-head losses to Miami and Texas A&M, which both those teams, rightfully so, should get a shot. Now, the only issue I have with Miami is they did not win their conference. But
sometimes it's good not to win your conference.
I was going to say, in that case, it's actually better not to win the conference. So I'd give them the edge.
The CFP ranking. Notre Dame was 11. In the closest poll, they were 9.
All right. And Alabama was where?
I knew you were going to
say that. You knew I was going to ask that. I was going to ask. Because they were outside 13, were they not?
Alabama was number 9 in the CFP, and they were 12 in the AP, the Coastal Bowl.
Yeah, bubble. Not you're in and they're out. No. How do you take a 12 team over a 9 team and say, well, strength of schedule? Who says?
Alabama has 3 losses.
Yeah. And 2 of them were embarrassing.
Alabama has 3 losses. Why are we having the discussion of how did they even get in?
Yeah.
That's the real question here. How did they even get in?
You're a shot of whiskey. Just 2 minutes ago, 5 minutes ago,
I asked the question.
You were advocating
Alabama had 3 losses.
Alabama should be out.
It was no. No, Alabama should not be in.
That's what we said. No.
Just like Texas kicked out.
No.
I would have rather seen Vandy get in.
Yeah.
At least Vandy only has 2 losses.
And Vandy's got 3.
Vandy has 2.
2? Okay.
So we proved it's so messed up.
Yeah, that's exactly what we proved. We have just, this is what I'm saying. And there's a committee of fat
idiots.
Cats up there.
Idiots.
Okay, I'm trying not to be disrespectful, but there's a committee of fat cats up there that have this brain fog that has determined that these teams will do great. I'm going to tell you now, I think Oklahoma stumps them again. And maybe not. But if they don't, Indiana sure will. So, you know. But now Alabama's going to be a dangerous team because they know how much hate that they have. So we'll see if they can rise, if Ty Simpson can sit there and get the offense going. They sure couldn't do it against Georgia. That's for sure. And they sure didn't do it against Florida State. Who, everyone had high hopes for Florida State. So the rankings really do mean nothing.
Nope.
And you're not picking the best teams or a strength of schedule, which you say, that philosophy caves in upon itself. It caves in on its face because I'm looking at a 10 and 2 team that went on a 10 game winning streak. And they shouldn't be forced or pressured, peer pressured, to join a conference because everybody else is in a conference and they play a championship game. Boo, boo.
Damn conference.
It's a boo hoo. And that's all I got to say on that. Just boo hoo. They got robbed.
Yeah.
Oh, they were held up. The only thing missing was the gun.
Again, like
they
I just
got
said,
mugged.
Instead of Alabama, I just proved I would have put Vandy in. So again, that like I said, Notre Dame is my last choice. That's the last opening I got. I gotta put if it's the power at plays, I've got to put the best teams forward, and the ones that play the conferences, I've got to put them in first. So
okay, so Tulane strength of schedule 3.38. Notre Dame 10.79.
Mm-hmm.
And so, and your leader is number 1, Indiana, 10.98, and Georgia, 14.81. So, Indiana's problem was Kennesaw State, Indiana State, and I don't remember the 13, but Indiana State had. The last time anyone heard of him is 1979 when Berg graduated and Michigan State beat them. That's it.
It's skewed. The whole thing is skewed. All right, let's move on to the games. Let's move on to the games.
You want to do the rest of the players?
Yeah, we can. Go ahead.
So, Davey Walker. Davey O'Brien, best quarterback, Mendoza.
Deserving.
Best running back, Duke Walker, Jeremy Love.
Deserving.
Okay. Thorpe Award, best defensive player in college football, Caleb Downs.
Deserving.
Yeah. So, John Mackey Award for the best tight end, Eli Stowers from Vanderbilt.
Deserving.
Because no one heard of him.
Yeah. Well, I mean, but you watch him play, and he was a big impact player along with Pavia. So he was an impact player on a team that nobody really gives a second thought about.
Yeah.
They will in the third year with Coach Lee. So Lou Gross Award, best kicker in football, Tate Sandell, Oklahoma.
Yeah, he was pretty much on the money.
Yeah, he wasn't kicking wide left like, oh, that happened this weekend too.
He definitely was not a Caddyshack man. Yeah. I never slice and shankopotamus. Yeah. So
the Army Navy game, wide left.
Yeah.
And then the game South Florida and Old Dominion. Oh, my God. That's the South Florida kicker.
That was such a good game.
That was why? Like, why?
24-10, but he kept –
it was really 17-10 until the quarterback broke away at the last second.
It was
domination, but it was 17-10 until literally the final like 2 minutes or so.
Right.
And that's when they were just killing time. The quarterback was a monster, dude. He took a hit and got knocked out. I think it was the third quarter and got nailed right here under the chin. Out cold. I mean, slumped straight to the ground.
Yeah. And the defensive player was like, that wasn't targeting.
Yeah,
that was dirty.
We'll see.
Speared him right in the head.
Yeah, another falsity of football. Define targeting for what it is, because I've seen hits this year, and I'm like, how was that not targeting yesterday? Yeah, how is that not targeting? And they get away with it, and I'm like, I need to see the definitions of targeting, because
we need two guys to go on out and do some videos of just impacts so we can see the same things y'all are seeing.
It's go on, John. So
the Outland Trophy, best interior lineman, Spencer Fano, Utah, offensive tackle.
Who?
Spencer Fano.
Yeah.
Utah. That was not on our list.
Are the Utes even good?
Yeah, they were good. The coach is done now, but
he quit. He's a quitter.
Well, not boo.
Quitter.
Up and up is on the down and down now.
The best punter was Brent Thorson from Georgia.
He's a boomer.
And Walter Camp and Heisman winner, Fernando Mendoza.
Deserving. Boy, played his heart out.
I'm with Pavia.
Yeah.
There's not a microphone in front of me, but I was hoisting the bullshit flag in the living room when they announced it.
Yeah. See, again, this is that
committee
that, and I mean, really, when they make their decisions,
it's not good.
Yeah. Have a bottle of booze next to you in a shot glass, because your disbelief of how they're choosing is like, Pavia to me was the most heart player in all of college football.
It's like Skidaboo last year.
Yeah. Oh, the kid was an animal. He's an animal. I mean, you want to talk about selling out yourself. That's hard. That's hard.
And he was saying the SEC goes through Vanderbilt now. They were 10-2.
Yep.
And not in the playoff. I would be upset about not being in the playoff, and I'd be really upset that I wasn't in the top two of the Heisman.
Yeah. We're definitely going to have to work on the expansion, and I think the expansion part runs out in 2026, I believe, and then will be revisited. And will they have to go to at least 16 teams? At least.
And if they went to 16 teams this year, from the offsides rankings, Texas, Vanderbilt, USC, and BYU would be in. It's not a big reach.
No. No.
I need to have a flagpole put in my front yard and say, this is it, and no.
No. No. Just no. Oh. Then all the rain came and the fact checkers died. Oh.
So number 18 for us, Tennessee. You know, could Tennessee hang with BYU? Yes.
Yeah.
There's your first round.
I believe that they could. I mean, listen, they had Georgia beat. And then it was a shankaroo. They they got beat by Oklahoma. Okay, Oklahoma's in. They're a good team. They got beat by Alabama. At Alabama, I might add. So,
you know what Oklahoma's record is against Alabama all time?
They got a winning record, isn't it? Yeah.
They're 5-2.
Yeah.
All time.
I hope they beat Bama.
Possibly on their way to 6-2.
Especially that's a home game.
Yeah, that's right. So, you know, we'll see how that goes. All right, next up, bowl games.
First games, South Carolina State versus Prairie View. South Carolina State won 41-38 in four overtimes.
Let me tell you, I was watching the end of that thing, and I thought, oh, man, I'm going to be 0-1 starting it off on my picks. And all of a sudden, I saw a miracle. And I was like, oh, we're tied. Here we go. We get into overtime, and they kept grinding. Good job, South Carolina State, again. You are champions. Yeah. So, you know, they know how to, they not champions play like champions play, and they did good.
So the next game was Washington versus Boise State, and Washington won 38-10.
Yeah, saw it coming.
Yeah. That was a whooping.
I knew it would be. Then I went to 2-0, and then I had a little smirk on my face. So, pretty happy about that. Next game,
Jacksonville State versus Troy.
I was a little worried.
That was surprised.
I was a little worried, but I said, you know what? I think they're going to pull this out. They're going to overcome.
I watched the entire game.
Yeah, and they did.
And Troy was just like, they could not move the ball. And you can see the jaws of victory slipping from Jacksonville State. I'm like, really? Win the game.
Yeah, I know.
Stop thinking about what Troy will do. They only scored 13 points in three quarters. This is over. This is Ohio State, 13-10.
Yeah, 13-10. Yeah. It's an ugly score that keeps popping up for Ohio State and two bad kicks. So, but at the end, the results made Mike 3-0. So now my smirk turned into a small grin. So, next game.
Next game, South Florida versus Old Dominion, and Old Dominion won 24-10.
And then the smirk of a grin turned into a...
South Florida had 5 turnovers.
I know.
5.
No! Yeah, 5 times.
Where's Charles Barkley?
Yeah. Embarrassing. You can't win a ball game if you're going to turn the ball. Why don't you just hand it off to him and say, we don't want to be here and play. The
staff is on two, and here's the ball.
Yeah. We don't want that trophy. We don't like it.
They sure don't.
Next game.
Louisiana Raging Cajuns played Delaware, and Delaware won 20-13.
And then the flat lip, straight face that I had turned into a frown. I went 3-2. And I was like, I'm not going in the right direction.
Yeah.
So as we sit right now, folks, your comedic host, whatever, I'm the guy that just is here. Really, I have no importance in this whatsoever. Okay? I'm nobody. But I am 3-2, and I have many different faces, smiles, smirks, grins, frowns.
So the offside sayings are Michael, 3-2, Kent, 2-3, Marcus, 3-2, Sherry, 3-2, Doug, 2-3, and myself, 3-2. So... Who am I concerned about is Kent and Doug. You know, Michael will win games. Marcus will come from nowhere and win games.
Yes, he does.
But Kent, it's very Kent and Doug, Kent has won the conference game 3 years in a row. And he doesn't do very well because he picks a lot of upsets during the regular season.
Yes.
You know, all right. And you have Doug. Doug is, he's like the Dr. Heckle, Mr.
Hi, Jekyll. Yep. Yeah.
It's like 1 week he'll be like 7-13. And I think next week he'll be 15-2.
I know. Don't take the drink. Don't drink the Kool-Aid. That's the problem. Don't drink the Kool-Aid.
And what surprises me is Shannon opted out. Shannon, she's always picked her own games.
Well,
but she doesn't buy
color
and color of the team.
I know, but she's pretty good at it.
Yeah, it's crazy.
And she's pretty good at it.
And I don't know. Sherry's technique. I'm not there.
I don't know Sherry's technique. She likes the name of the teams, how it sounds.
Mm-hmm.
So they have their own way, and I'm not about to sit there and interfere with it. That's a mistake. So
Tonight's game is Missouri State and Arkansas.
And who? I'm sorry.
Missouri State and Arkansas State.
Yeah.
And most,
I'd have to go to my trusty list to see who I picked.
I picked Arkansas State. You picked Missouri State. But this game was is split down the middle with both teams.
I'm going with the guy who's got the shirt. See the shirt? That's right. So you picked Arkansas State. Not so fast, my friend.
You know why? I changed my CFP picks, too. You know why?
Yeah, I remember why you changed the ones. You're going. John will try to match me at the end. Because if he's got a little bit of a lead, he'll sit there and try. He'll just say, all I have to do is pick the same game as Michael and I'm in. I know your game. It's deep.
So I changed my CFP picks to all SEC. If you look at it, it's all SEC.
Well, they have the highest percentage of getting
you
in.
You know what? If we all picked Ohio State, we'll all be winners or losers.
That's right.
And this way, we're a winner or a loser.
I
did it for conversation, not for smarts.
Well, conversations can go bad.
That's right.
We'll have to wait and see. But I'm very comfortable with my picks. I think they're realistic.
Yeah, I didn't pick him to win. I picked him to have conversation.
It's a coin toss. Mm-hmm. It's a 50-50 chance. Like every game. All right. So next up for the bowl games after tonight is tomorrow. We're having the first set of playoff games.
We have first Kennesaw State plays Western Michigan.
Yep.
That's 6 o'clock game, Kennesaw State plus 6 over the MAC champion.
I'm going to get my list. I need to know who I do. See, I make my picks. I did some research. I went through three. I looked research. I didn't say it was good or deep.
I'll tell you. You pick Kennesaw State.
I have faith.
And so did I.
Yeah, I had faith. All right. So
next game is Memphis versus North Carolina State.
I took North Carolina State. Memphis has been on some kind of a losing streak.
I don't know.
At first, what I saw, you know, during the year, I said, these boys have swallowed a horseshoe. Well, they're winning games, and here we go, and they're the dark horse. Well, it is now past now, so it's over now. There's no more horseshoe.
So I'll give you a Shannon moment. North Carolina State coach Doreen. Let me find him. There he is. He's 116-73 after 13 years. Like, that sounds a lot like Kentucky and Stoops. Maybe a little better.
So we have two very sloppy teams. So it's really, it's a crap toss here. You know, here we are. We're welcome to the casino. Here we go. Roll the dice.
You have Memphis who's on a downward spiral. And you have North Carolina.
What a downward spiral, John. They jumped from the plane with a knapsack. There was no parachute. It was a knapsack.
And North Carolina State is on a career downward spiral.
Well, they have a garbage bag and they thought it's a parachute. So we'll see, but I like North Carolina State in this one. My smirk and plain face, flat lips to small frown could turn into a big
the offsides pick is Memphis by plus two. To me, it depends on what seniors are going to play.
Yeah. I mean, you're gonna have seniors that want to opt out, and they're gonna do this, and some of them opt out not because of the NFL, they opt out because they're like, I got to get out of here, I got to get out, I just want out. Yeah, somebody tell me how to get out. I want out.
And the 9 o'clock game. Alabama at Oklahoma. And the offsides prediction winner, even.
I'm going to take Oklahoma, home field advantage.
Give me OPs.
And I'm going to tell you this. Alabama does not have – they do I'm going to tell you. But let me get on here. Alabama does not have the defense that Oklahoma has. That's going to be a problem for Ty Simpson, okay? He showed it before. Is Mateer, the question, good enough to not throw rocket ships out into space and instead of football to his players?
No.
He has tendency of doing this. And if the guy's 10 yards away, he has it coming in like a Scud missile. You got to, son, you got to learn some touch. If you want to go far, you got to learn a little touch.
Give it a little float.
if they had a great quarterback, there wouldn't be no discussion at all. It'd be Oklahoma all the way. Mateer has got to settle down, stay in the pocket, run when needed, relax, no question, but relax. Don't try to, put the bullseye on your own guy's head and whip it at him at 300 miles an hour. Give him a chance to catch it. And in front of him, not behind him, where these guys are Gumby trying to make the catch.
Yeah. Or you'll be like, oh, do you last night? And it's like, oh, it's in my lap.
Yeah. I had a bad yoga session and my back's pulled now. So, he's got to settle down, think through the game, and get through like we can. All right, next.
Saturday, the 20th. First game, Miami versus Texas A&M.
Miami, stage left, please. No, Miami, stage left.
Give me Miami. I want Miami.
Well, you got to turn in your picks, and you got to turn them in by tomorrow night.
I'll take Miami. The reason why is I want to play Miami. Ohio State versus Miami. Let's go. You want your revenge? 23 years you've been absent.
I don't care about 23 years ago. It's done. It's in the history books.
Absolutely. They want their shot. Come get it.
That's their problem. I want Texas A&M.
Tell Ken Dorsey how it should have been.
Right.
Should have, could have, would have. But you're not. No.
Where is
Maurice
Claret?
Yes. Yeah. That's right. So the way I look at it is, to all your Miami fans out there, I have two words for you. Boo-hoo, you're going home. Welcome to the playoffs. You got a taste of it. Put your spoon and fork down. Take two steps back from the buffet and catch a flight home. A&M. A&M's got speed. A&M's got the defense. A&M does play in a tougher conference. So the opposition is higher. And I like A&M in this.
And me too.
Yeah, I like A&M.
Tougher conference. Didn't Florida State just beat the crap out of Alabama?
I don't know what happened there. I don't know.
It's in the history books.
It is in the history books, and I can appreciate the sarcasm, but Alabama should have never been in the playoffs, in my opinion, to begin with.
Absolutely.
It should have been either Notre Dame or Vanderbilt.
That's right.
So,
I agree.
So
it's been in second place for the past 2 years, right?
Well, eat that big bird of sarcasm. All right.
So the late afternoon game, Tulane versus Ole Miss. Predicted winner, Ole Miss. The regular season game was Ole Miss 43, Tulane 10.
Yeah, I don't believe even without a coach. Who did I take in that one? I believe it was Ole Miss.
Yeah. I don't know.
You'd have to go Ole Miss. I mean, you'd need a miracle, an absolute miracle for Tulane to beat.
I mean, it.
No, you had the miracle. Lane Kiffin is gone.
Yeah, there's your miracle. But I mean, how's it going to play out, though? I still see Ole Miss as a better team than Tulane. Even without a coach.
We saw how the response is.
Yeah.
With teams. Now we've seen it three times now. No coach, no win. You know? But.
That's what I'm saying. So is it like, could Tulane possibly make it to the quarterfinals?
No. It would get their ass handed to them.
Absolutely. But always a what if.
Yeah. Again, that's another flight ticket home. Merry Christmas.
I have your bracket right in front of me.
All right.
You have Ole Miss, and you have written right next to it. They're going to kick their ass.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, that's reality for Tulane. And I'm sorry, but it is. And
welcome to the club. Sad you had to leave so fast.
Welcome to the couch. I hope it's leather. To make yourself comfortable.
Hope you slide.
Yeah. Next game.
Next game is James Madison versus Oregon. Predicted winner, Oregon plus 8.
Yeah, slaughterfest. It's going to be a slaughtering.
You know, James Madison, I respect you. You have come far, but you are not going to be eating duck for the holiday season.
No, the duck's going to eat you.
What you found is the duck is like, there was once this guy was golfing with. His name was John. This is a true story, folks. And we're golfing, and you have to shoot from this cliff way kind of on up. And I mean, it's a hill, and then it drops off to a ravine over a pond. It's a par three. And this good fellow, John, as we're out there, shot, and it was kind of the edge of the pond. Michael, of course, went on to the green. Anyway, we get down there in the cart. We're laughing, having a good time. And John proceeded to pull out a club, a pitch, just to make a shot. And this goose attacked John. And I watched this goose chase John through the golf cart and around, and it was relentless. And the only thing I could think of at that time is I laughed and laughed and laughed at the ferocity of this goof that looked like some kind of velociraptor. I mean, it was coming at John. And I can tell you was that that is about what you're going to be facing, James Madison. And it's not going to go. It's not going to bode well. And by the way, that John is the John that is right in front of you folks as we were out golfing. And John can tell you this wasn't a small bird either.
Yeah.
This was a big goose, wasn't he, John?
He was a He was a three-footer.
Yeah,
he was a small child.
Yeah, he was a good 100-pound goose. Let me tell you. And he was attacking John.
You gotta kick it, man. Kick it.
Not happy with our beer choice in the cart.
Yes. John, swing the club, John. John, swing the club.
No, I'm going out swinging. Me and John, is about to brawl.
Yeah, John's in there. Michael, help me. I've got to have some kind of relief.
Help me.
Yeah. And by the way, I missed the putt and John won that hole.
Avondale is now closed.
Yeah. The memory will always be there of me telling the story of the attacking goose, the duck. And that's what a goose is. He's a souped up duck. And that's what James Madison is facing. And I think that Oregon is way too fast, way too many weapons, defense, offense, and everything. James Madison is also at home, and they're not even given a leather couch. This one is pleather, imitation leather. So
what I remember about the day was that damn dog.
That's that dog.
And this is my way. Your mom goes, who drove home?
That's right. I remember that. Yeah. How did you get home? I remember. How did you get home? And I said, well, you look at John. He's cut, bruised, and everything else from that goose. Oh. All right. Next game up.
December 22nd, Washington State versus Utah State. Washington State plus one.
Yeah, I Utah State has in the past been pretty good. I've liked them in the past, but I still like Washington State in this one. They're clinging onto what's left of a defunct conference, and they're doing it with pride. So they have tenacity, and that's enough to get past Utah State. Eventually, they're going to have to go somewhere, maybe independent or whatever. That might not be a bad idea.
They could join UConn and Notre Dame.
That's right.
Second place citizens.
Well, they could play for a conference championship then.
Of the independents?
That's right.
Best of three.
That's right.
All both of them.
That's right. All both of them. That's right. And it could be a revolutionary independence.
Yeah. Well, that's a great game right there.
That's right.
The Independence Bowl.
The Independence Bowl. It'll be something. Mm-hmm. It'll be something.
Maybe they can get Army and Navy to come back.
Navy is content, and they are the commander in chief winners. I love my Navy.
You know what was it? Virginia Tech, West Virginia, and Virginia, the rivalry of the three.
Yep.
And what was it for? The Black Diamond Trophy. Oh, I wish they'd bring that back.
There were some good ones. There were some good ones that died off in the way. But maybe that's time to let the Pac. What is that? What was that conference called? The Pac-12?
No. Big East.
Pac-10, right?
Pac-10.
No, the Big East.
No, the Big East had like Miami, Virginia Tech, and all those.
Yeah.
No.
That was Virginia Tech, West Virginia.
No. It was.
I think Virginia Tech was in the ACC. Boston College,
Syracuse,
huh?
Illinois.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then they all bolted to the ACC.
They all bolted to
Big 12 and the ACC.
Yeah. So, But the Pac-12, which has packed its bags, maybe
it's Oregon and Washington State. That's it.
Go to Independence, boys. Go to Independence and have a new bowl game there, the Revolutionary Bowl, for the conference championship. I like it.
I'm going to Washington State too, by one.
Yeah, Washington State. I mean, when you're hanging on to a conference like they are, I mean, it's like firm grip. You know what I'm saying? It's all the...
When you win by a missed point and you're still the number one team, that's a perfect conference.
That says a lot. You've convinced me. All right, next one.
The other team miss an extra point.
Hey, it counts. One bad play. One bad play.
They used to again. They used to ask Willie Hayes, why did you go for two? He goes,
because it couldn't go for three.
It could go for three.
Yeah. All right. Next game up.
December 23rd, Toledo versus Louisville. And our offsides predictor winner, Louisville plus four.
Yes, Louis. I love the Toledo Rockets. They're great, but they're not Louisville great.
Yeah, Louisville was doing great until the end of the season. Now, who knows how many of those players are going to hang up the cleats for the bowl game? I would say everyone on Toledo is on the show, and maybe the band too.
Yeah, they might have them coming in, refresh them a little bit.
The next game, Western Kentucky versus South Mississippi. Western Kentucky is favored by plus six.
And I believe I took Western Kentucky too.
I don't know. Mike, you took Western Kentucky.
Had to be done.
Yeah, and I don't know who I take. Oh, I took Southern Miss.
Oh, that's a shame.
That's great. To win outright, you have to have difference.
You're going to have that look where I had that big grin on my face and then it went kind of like flat lips. Welcome to flat lip territory. It's okay. We all make a bad decision here and there, John.
I made a lot of them.
Yeah. Well, you did with that goose. That was for sure. Oh
my God. I can still remember it.
That story, I might be dying or whatever, the end of life, but I will remember that goose. And then I will get a kick out of life and I will say, it was worth it. I had a good run. And so did John when that thing attacked at him.
You know, it was such a problem is we had so many cold ones in the cart that we didn't see the bird coming.
I don't even know where the thing came from. It was like it came underneath like a submarine and just started launching missiles. I have no idea where the thing was. I didn't see it. It was just kind of swimming in the pond, minding its own business. And then it decided, I'm hungry. Look at that. There's that fellow looks there. He's a tasty treat. I didn't see any young. I didn't see any. There was no young. It just came up and just it said, I'm going to have, it was like a prison move. I'm going to have my way with you. All right, next came up.
UNLV versus Ohio. Predicted offsides winner, UNLV. Plus six.
Mm-hmm. The Rebs. And they're going to show you. Yeah. I like UNLV in that game.
Now I have it open. Michael.
UNLV.
It's great to see. It's great to see everyone's picks. UNLV.
Yep.
And the last game.
Must be done.
Christmas Eve. What? The last game is December 24th, Christmas Eve, the Hawaii Bowl, California versus Hawaii.
Ooh, who did I take in that game? Hawaii, I think I took California.
You did.
You did.
It's going to be Hawaii.
Let me tell you something.
No.
Just a minute, mister.
Not so fast, my friend.
Wait a second, mister. Let me tell you why. The Sun Bears eat the Hawaiian people.
No.
Yes.
The Hawaiians are going to be partying it up in Hawaii.
That's why it ain't going to matter. They'll be shuffling around in their hulas.
They're still going to be on the flight. They don't even need to get off the plane. They're
just
going to have to go back.
They're
going to
be
home
in their hula things.
It was nice to have you down.
So Cal is 77-5. Hawaii is 8-4. And the offsides prediction is Hawaii plus 6.
No.
Hawaii.
All right.
So I think it'll be jet lag and one more loss.
Wait a minute, mister.
Okay.
I'm going to tell you that I think the Golden Bears go on in there and they feast and they take over the whole Hawaiian state.
So I think they're a Pac-10 quitter and they'll quit on Christmas Eve. Mm-hmm.
I think their present's coming early. That's what I think. And I think from Santa Claus, here you go.
Steve Sarkisian fired Pete Kwiatkowski and replaced him with former South Carolina coach Will Muschamp.
Bad move. Bad move.
Muschamp is a head case and a temperamental powder.
Yeah.
He bad coach.
Yeah. Yeah, on two planes.
Yeah. He came in South Carolina with high hopes, and I said, this is not your coach. I said, don't get used to him.
And now Beamer is just as bad.
Yeah, disappointing right now. Yeah. He's got to pick it up next season because they had high hopes this year, and they must have heard me.
You know who they just re-signed for NIL there?
Lenore?
Illinois, so that's a waste of mine right there.
He's got parts of Diego Pavia in there, but the problem is he doesn't have a supporting cast. It's like a bad play.
Yep.
The lead actor's good, but the rest of the whole cast, not so good.
Not so good.
Isn't that so good? Okay. My grandmother, Greek, right to the core, used to go into, and she was funny, she would go into, let's say, a Bilo, and she would fumble her hands through the grapes and start eating a couple right there in the grocery store. And the people know her. and they would come in and they would say, how you doing, Mrs. Bejas? You know, and they would treat her with all this nice respect and everything. And she'd go, come here, come here. This is the crap. Okay. Food Lion, they got the good stuff. That's what she would do. And then she would go to Food Lion and she'd fumble through the grapes and eat a bunch. You come here. This is the crap. Okay. Bilo, they got the good stuff. Okay. She had a free meal everywhere she went and everybody knew her and they all loved her. You know, I mean, this is the kind of supporting cast that I'm talking about. You got the lead actor, great. No supporting cast, not great. So the play evidently gets, well, the lead actor gets a great review. And the rest of it is, this is really a bad play.
Horace tells us he did good until he got whooped on by Vanderbilt.
Yeah, beat and up.
Changes the whole year.
Well, no, oh. Nobody wants to get beat up. That's not fun. You know? What do we got?
So, according to, these are reports out of LSU, Ohio State has interviewed LSU co-offensive coordinator and wide receivers coach Cortez Hankton.
That's great. Take him.
No. No. No.
Yeah.
No.
Yes.
No.
Why not?
Not good.
He's not. Malik Nabers, Brian Thomas, both playing in the NFL, both prominent names, and very good receivers.
Okay. Got news for you. There's a lot of good receivers out there. Okay. A lot of good receivers. So, no. You're running a pro style NFL type team. You pick from the NFL, or you why not just take Chip Kelly then again?
Why would you? It's not the offensive coordinator, goof. It's the wide receiver position.
They control it all.
No, they don't.
I don't know.
It's a position coach.
I say throw a monkey wrench into their system.
Exactly. Thank you. I agree.
Hankton has just as much success. Well, nobody has Brian Hartline's success at wide receiver position, but Hankton's your top tier next person. No offense.
You want to throw a metal wrench into the cogs and chip a gear.
As a position coach, how? Who are you going to get to replace Hartline and have the same success? Proven success.
Pro coach.
What pro coach is going to come off a position in the NFL to come to Ohio State?
Well, Patricia did.
Patricia was unemployed.
It's a whole different level, and you've got to have that whole different level mentality.
He has players in the NFL. The dude's been coaching an LSU wide receiver since 2022.
Aren't you the same guy that was just arguing that Notre Dame shouldn't have been in the playoffs and they have to force to be joining the conference, and then you found out they were 10-2? And then you said, I take it back.
No, I mean, they deserve a chance, but they'd still be behind Vanderbilt. So, no, you're not in the playoffs.
And we'll still be behind the curve. Citizens.
Second place, again.
You make bad picks.
I make bad picks. I make correct picks. No. You want to question my picks, and I picked all the upsets this year.
Well, even the sun signs on a squirrel every once in a while.
It was right last year, too.
And the acorn lights up.
I called Ohio State running the table in the playoffs. What happened?
I did that.
Oh, come on. John. You said, now Tennessee's going to have – I think it's going to be a tough one. These boys are good. They're ready to play. What was the final score? 41 to what?
I still call Ohio State winning the games. John, sir. Would you please announce the winner last year of the playoff pick'ems?
Michael.
Yeah, you wrote on my back.
Oh, I wrote on your back. You're skinny and narrow. There's nothing to ride on. Now, the goose. I could ride the goose.
The goose lost last year. The goose is going to win this year, too.
I'm just telling you.
The goose got shot out of the air.
The goose came out of the pond.
It fell. into the ground.
He didn't. He was ferocious.
He wasn't.
He was a lion, dude, if anything.
Oregon got their tails tucked last year.
Not talking about Oregon. I'm talking about the goose.
The goose was not dealing with a cobra. A king cobra? No.
Yeah, no. Yeah. Goose. Yeah. It's one of the meanest animals I ever ran across.
You didn't run across them for me. I had to run.
Man, John ran across them. You just watched.
Oh, no, I backed up. I see.
That's what I'm saying.
Use your club, John.
If they had phones that day, this would have been him.
Yeah. I was wrong with my beer.
Yeah. He was.
Oh. At least he didn't throw the beer at him.
No, he way. Couldn't. He was trying. The thing was killing him. It was like a radar unit on a Ferrari going down the highway. It was all over him.
Defend. Defend.
Quaker, Safe, and Lou were upset with me that I still had it in my hand. I walked in.
Yes. Well, that was about it. I believe we covered it all.
We covered more than that.
Yep.
And either tonight, Arkansas State. Let me see.
And Missouri State.
Arkansas State for the win.
Yeah. So you and I are in the lead, but you chose Missouri State and I chose Arkansas State. So someone is going down.
You're going to go down faster than what that goose took you down back then. I'll tell you that. That's what's going to happen there.
What I'm hoping for is Missouri State lost directions to the field.
Yeah. We'll see.
At 9:00.
Now, our next show is, when are we doing the next show? Next Thursday is what?
Christmas Eve.
Christmas Eve. And we know everybody is going to be wrapping gifts and presents and everything else and getting ready to have a fine dinner, celebrating. I'm going to tell you that we won't be on for that one. We'll be on for the next one.
That's cool.
So I hope that Santa Claus brings you all the games that you have picked. But if they're anything that's opposite me, then you're getting a lump of coal.
You know, the following Thursday is January 1st.
We'll be there.
Yeah.
That's where the good games are going to start, folks. Yeah, we'll have to delay for. Well, we have to come on. We've got to pick. Maybe we'll come on Wednesday night to
pregame
and make our picks for the playoffs
and update the standings.
I like it. What do you think?
Yep.
All right. So, the following week after Christmas, when we come back, as we get ready for our vacation here for our Christmas week and to see how everything plays out, we've already given you our picks. We've already talked about it. We will see you the following Wednesday to give you an inside look of our knowledge, and we will know at that point in time our picks. We'll go from there.
We might have to take a long-term change to Wednesday nights because there are too many Thursdays that are, I don't know, Thanksgiving, Christmas, and Moon Target.
We'll figure it out. We got time, but as always, We wish you guys a very Merry Christmas. We wish you a wonderful, safe holiday. I wish you bad picks unless you agree with mine. And
that goes and for you, you, Kent and Marcus.
Yeah. And if you don't, no, I don't wish you those things. So, but anyway, you guys, we're wrapping it up. Take care. God bless. And thank you for tuning in with us all the time. John, as always, sir, thank you.
Yeah, thank you. It was fun.
Yes, it's always been, it's always a blast. It's always fun. And have fun, y'all out there. And we'll talk to you later. Thanks for tuning in to Offsides College Football. College Top 25 Plus Fine with Swami John, who almost went swimming with the goose. I'm glad I told that story. And, and Kaylin, the co-host, and of course me, your I Contribute Nothing. Anyway, we'll catch you guys after Christmas. God, just be, have a good time. That's all. Have a good time, everyone. Take care. Later, John.
Yep. Later.
Bye. Bye.